You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio at voicesofmontana.com. Let's welcome our first guest here. It's a pleasure, Richard Miltenberger, the CEO of Mountain Health Co-op, to provide a perspective on how this pandemic has permanently changed, if we can say that, the way we look at healthcare. Mountain Health Co-op is a nonprofit, member-governed health insurance cooperative, and it works and operates in three states, Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, as we have talked about here. We love that co-op model. Good morning, Richard. How you doing?
Tom, I'm doing great. It's good to be in the middle of winter, finally.
Yeah, I'm okay with it, although I complain if it's not winter, I complain if it is winter. I think I complain louder if it is winter, though.
Well, you know, I just I'm like a lot of the other listeners. I've been thinking, what's going to happen with the fires this summer? So I feel like we definitely need this blast of snow. So, but it looks like, at least here in Helena, where I'm where I live, next week won't be as bad. So I can put up with anything for a week.
Yeah, me too. The winter's really not that long in Montana. The worst of it, and we do need some snow. So, and I think those of us who have been here long enough, and for many of us, that is our lifetimes. We knew that winter was not going to skip us this year. Hey, thank you for being here. I appreciate that. There's a lot of things to talk about when we're talking about the pandemic, and we really have had a laser-sharp focus on it. As we're looking at healthcare and the co-op model, I think it might provide different perspectives. But if I was to ask you the just basic question, what policies have changed for the better? What policies need to be changed? What policies that we were operating under that have been bad, and what are things yet to be determined? I know that's a loaded question. There's a lot to go off of there, but what are your first thoughts?
Sure. You know, a great question, Tom. And I would tell you that, and I think a lot of people have seen this in their own work environment, but it, in a funny way, this whole COVID-19 has kind of pushed us 2 or 3 years into the future, in the sense that, you know, an example that all of us can relate to, conference calls that are done, you know, via Zoom or some other vehicle, those have been around for years, but we didn't really use them. Another example, which is much more relevant to the pandemic itself, is what I'm going to call telehealth. So that is calling your physician, your healthcare provider, and receiving, you know, some sort of guidance over the telephone. You can't do everything. You can't fix a broken bone over the phone, but there's a lot that can be done either through video chat or just a telephone call to a provider. And it's not that you couldn't do this before. It's that physicians were often not reimbursed for it before. So from a physician standpoint, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. Previously, what happened with the pandemic is we all recognized, hey, we've got to make sure people don't have to go in their doctor's office for care, because that's just going to be a center of infection, right? So now telehealth is something that's not only been approved and blessed, but really used a lot more. People were taking doctors saying, well, call in, let's talk through this situation. And I think that's going to make a big difference in a state like Montana. A lot of people, a lot of your listeners may live a few blocks from their doctor's office. Some of your listeners, it's a 30-mile, 60-mile drive. And this time of year, you don't want to be taking those drives. So this has been a big boon, I think, that's come out of the pandemic, is people being able to, and this is going to be permanent. This is not going away.
Yeah. How will insurance handle these changes?
We acted, and when I say we, our company, Mountain Health Co-op, we have 35,000 folks we insure. I'd like to say, we were unique. We were not unique. We talked to the insurance commissioner, the Montana State Auditor's Office early on, and all the insurers in the state immediately began to pick up this coverage for telehealth. It was the right thing to do, because what can happen otherwise, you know, you go in because you have a runny nose or what have you, and the person sitting next to you in the doctor's office has COVID, and then all of a sudden everybody in the doctor's office has COVID, and it just didn't make sense to have people coming in unnecessarily for care. So all the insurance companies, I think it was cool to see. We all, I think, jumped in and did the right thing and got this covered right away.
What kind of complications did that cause?
Well, a lot, you know, to be frank, because physician offices have there's processes in place, and there are codes. Everything you do at a doctor's office, there's some sort of a number that's associated with it, and that's how the billing and payment systems work. And so there's a lot of behind-the-scenes, late-night, weekend work with software folks, making sure that under a normal code, this could get reimbursed. Because part of what happened, what you saw with restaurants that had to close down, well, in the same way, people not going to physician offices, it cuts back right in the middle of a pandemic. They have their cash flow stopped. And so it's kind of important to keep our healthcare infrastructure moving and succeeding. And so this enabled the payments to continue and allowed people to receive care, even though it's not ideal. And I don't think it's something we want to place too much emphasis on, because there's a lot that can happen in a physician office that's eyeball to eyeball. And so we think that is the best way to get care. But it's important people have this access, and I think they really appreciate it. We've seen thousands and thousands of our members call and get care that they need.
That will be one of the permanent changes because of the pandemic. That will be for the better. Richard Miltenberger is with us, CEO of Mountain Health Co-op. As he mentioned, 35,000 members across Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, and it is a health insurance member-governed cooperative. One thing that I think is yet to be seen, in my opinion, the people have been trying to take more control of their own health care, and I think you have better outcomes in that, instead of relying on a system or even a doctor. And that's maybe there's a deeper discussion there regarding socialized medicine. But telehealth, do you think that will encourage people to, because maybe they can see some real savings there? And that's a question too. Can there be some real savings for the consumer, but yet not also ding the provider of those services? And do you think that people will take it more seriously through telehealth for improved self-care?
You know, I think the whole issue of people taking charge of their health care is going to get a boost. And that is so important. You know, you just can't rely on other people and the system, if you will, to take care of your own health. And so, Tom, I would hope that this whole pandemic, people have had to do their own research, listen to different sides, make decisions for themselves about what they do with their own health, and I hope that continues for the long haul. You asked a question there I'll want to touch on. Currently in Montana, and your listeners have all kinds of insurance in place, Medicaid, Medicare, private insurance. Some large employers from out of state have their own way of doing things. But for individuals who are covered as individuals, by and large, and also small employers in this state, they have seen no copay, no cost share for telehealth. So I'm not talking about the doctor's office. They're now getting paid. I mentioned that a moment ago. But almost as importantly is the members can access telehealth without any cost share. That is something that will change when the pandemic subsides. So I don't think that the idea of, hey, you know, call your physician, have that telehealth visit, and there's no charge to the consumer. I don't think that's going to continue, but that is the case today. Again, we wanted to incentivize everybody, stay out of these congregate settings. And frankly, there's no place you don't want to be in a physician office if you can avoid it during a pandemic. So try to stay away from there. Instead, use telehealth when it makes sense.
Do you think telehealth, Richard, is there a danger in it in terms of the quality of healthcare?
Yes, there is. And here's one immediate danger. Telehealth is something that you can call a special service. And there are services, most people that have insurance, they have an 800 number, and you can call a physician, you know, maybe three states away, 3 a.m. in the morning. And that's great to get that level of care. But the challenge is then what happens to the information? Because if you don't have a primary care physician who is the traffic cop, if you will, of your healthcare, knows every drug you're on. So if you don't have that information centrally located, you can run into trouble and run into healthcare issues that are a little more complicated to diagnose. So I'll give you an example. Someone goes into their physician office and they see the physician. The physician will, if they're a good diagnostician, which they're good at the diagnostics, they can pick up on things that you may not have brought to their attention. I always think of a good doctor friend of mine. Somebody came in and they're sipping on water the whole time they were there. So, are you thirsty a lot? Yeah, I'm thirsty a lot. Turned out they were getting into a diabetic situation, and one of the first signs is, you know, kind of a constant thirstiness. So there are things that you can pick up on, almost like an investigator, right, a detective. Physicians are trained to look for these things. You can't pick them up over the phone. Mm-hmm. So the best quality of care outside of the pandemic is, I believe, eyeball to eyeball, kneecap to kneecap in your physician office, where they know every medication you're on, and you're not getting medications that contradict each other from different docs on the phone.
We'll discuss more here as we look at maybe some permanent changes because of the COVID-19 pandemic to healthcare, the good, the bad, and a lot of things yet to be determined here. And one of those things is tying health insurance coverage to employment. Well, there's discussion about the good and the bad about that. Richard Miltenberger is with us, Mountain Healthcare Co-op CEO, and this is From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Telehealth is the big buzzword. There are other things to consider when we look at maybe permanent changes because of this pandemic, and we're doing that here today with Richard Miltenberger, who's the CEO of Mountain Health Co-op, as I mentioned, too. That is a nonprofit, member-governed health insurance cooperative, and we have been fans of the cooperative model here, 35,000 members in Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming. And I think what's good for the consumer is good for Mountain Health Co-op because they are a group of consumers. Got a quick call, Richard. Got some things I want to talk about here, and people do want to engage in this conversation. 781-627-5483 is the text message, and 866-627-5483. On the phone is Karen, listening from Hardin on the Mighty 790 KGHL. Karen, thanks for calling with your comments on telehealth for Richard Miltenberger.
Thank you. I have underlying conditions, and I would like to start doing telehealth for my medical doctor's appointments. Sometimes I have to go in and see the doctor and do lab tests and everything else. But what I hate is wearing those masks. Those masks are a lot worse than they are. I remember when I was younger, if you were really, really sick, the doctors would come to the residents and do the examinations in the home. Would that be also another option for these doctors to come in?
I think that's an interesting question, Karen. I appreciate that. I have read, Richard, that there are doctors out there, and maybe we can talk about some of the things in the legislature that might be related to that in a bill that will create direct primary care incentives. And your thoughts on that and Karen's comments.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. And I appreciate your views there. You know, I don't think that home visits are going to take off in our country anytime soon.
Yeah.
It never stopped. In France and Germany, there's a lot of at-home visitation by physicians. In England, they do a lot with nurses coming to your home. And we do have home health workers here. It's not the same thing. It is everybody gets in their own groove. I think we're too far down the road. I remember doctors coming to my house as a kid. It just, they're not set up for it yet, but it sure would be nice. Getting to your point, Tom, on the whole issue of direct primary care, in the news a lot recently, there's a bill that was passed the legislature, I believe is going to be signed by the governor, regarding direct primary care. I would just tell you, the more we can emphasize primary care, the better. And I don't want to get into the details of that bill, other than it puts into law something that was allowed by the former insurance commissioner, and the current insurance commissioner is committed to it. That is, that direct primary care can continue to exist and thrive in Montana. And anything that can support primary care, that is to say, that what used to be called the general practice, now it'd be family medicine or OBGYN medicine, is so important, because what we've gotten away from is primary care. And if all you see is specialists, you don't get that general view. And so we're big supporters of that.
And that's interesting, because on the surface of it, the direct primary care bill kind of moves insurance away from the relationship.
Yes, it's a what these clinics are, and you'll see them around town. It's a place where you go in. They don't take insurance typically. Some do, but most don't. And you just get your primary care. I have my issues with some of the features of the bill. I think that people appreciate being able to have the provider submit the claim to the insurance. But regardless of that, I think we take it away from an insurance issue and just say, hey, you know what? It's a good thing when people can see primary care physicians. And so often it's just difficult. There's not enough of them.
Richard, I'm going to tease this, and before we get to an answer for it, I got a headline breakup coming here. But when we're talking about, and there is a text message here that relates to that, the 2021 legislative session, certain pieces of legislation. This consumer says, what should I be following? There has been a couple out there that we have talked about. One is direct primary care. Last week we talked about a House Bill 43, which does expand telehealth. One thing that was left on the table in committee, didn't make it out of committee, was a cap on insulin, or actually establishing limits on insurance cost sharing for insulin prescriptions. This was House Bill 222. I want to talk about that. I believe that's one of the bills that you guys have also been involved in. And so that's ahead here. Richard Miltenberger, as we come on back and talk about some of these effects that may be permanent, some that may not be, and still a lot yet to be determined here when it comes to healthcare because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So back after these quick headlines from Brian Bennett.
The state legislature will take up several of the policies proposed by Governor Greg Gianforte in his state budget this week. The state's first Republican chief executive in 16 years has dubbed it Tax Reform Week. East Helena brothers Joshua and Jared Hughes have been arrested and moved to Washington, D.C., where they will face charges for participating in the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. They were protesting the results of the November 3rd presidential election, in which Democrat Joe Biden won over Republican incumbent Donald Trump, whose second impeachment trial begins Tuesday in the U.S. Senate. According to the most recent report from the Department of Veterans Affairs, in the past 20 years, the number of veterans in the country has dropped by a third, with the current average age of 65. Montana has a veteran population approaching 100,000 men and women, and nearly 36% of them are 70 or older. With Montana News headlines, I'm Brian Bennett.
All right, I want to get to that legislative agenda here for Richard Miltenberger, Mountain Health Co-op CEO. As I've talked about, that's a lot of members, 35,000 individual members, Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming. And it's the mountainhealth.coop, mountainhealth.coop for more information. Richard, I got a few things, and I'm hoping maybe you can stay on here because it looks like we may need to take a little extra time and talk about this. We've got a call from KXLO in Lewistown. Richard is listening and wants to get in on this discussion regarding telehealth. And thank you, Richard. You're on the air here on Voices of Montana.
Yes. My question is, okay, you're talking about health, telehealth, and as large as Montana is, it's probably a good idea. But I have a cell phone, but I don't have a smartphone, so would a smartphone be required?
Good question, Richard. What about folks with limited technology? Yeah.
Oh, Richard, it's always good to talk to someone who shares my name. So, yeah, I've got to tell you, that is probably the best thing to come out of this pandemic change that happened last year. So during the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of the government regulations that were frankly very difficult to meet were dropped. And at first it was temporary. It looks like it's going to be permanent because there were state, but mainly federal regulations that said, well, you have to have all this security to do telehealth. You have to have certain secure systems that simply are not available. If you have a landline or a flip phone, if you don't have a smartphone, you couldn't access telehealth. And so it really made things challenging. That was dropped. You don't need a smartphone. You don't need to have video going on. You simply need a telephone, and telehealth can be taken care of. So, yeah, we feel really good about that. So, great question.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate that. We have time here. Let's get into this a little bit, just a couple of minutes. But House Bill, it was 222. Again, it would have enacted a cap on co-pays for people on insulin or with insulin prescriptions, and that died in committee on Friday. Your thoughts on that?
Well, this is a big deal. It's frankly close to me personally, for reasons I won't go into, but it is almost criminal what has happened in our country with certain drug prices. And mm-hmm. I'm going to pick on insulin. This bill was specific to insulin. There's other examples that are, you know, too many to be enumerated. But insulin was about $100 a month for consumers back in 2010. Fast forward 2020, we're up over $300 a month for insulin. Inflation hasn't gone up that much. In fact, most medications over time, the price will go down, and it is unaffordable for a lot of Montanans. So the basic price, there's a price issue, a cost issue that has to be addressed. What this bill said is, as an insurance company, you have to apply no more than a $35 copay. We support it, and the reason is we don't even charge that. We consider, for our members, insulin is a preventative medication. It's no cost share, because if you don't stay on your insulin, you're going to end up in the hospital. Diabetics who ration their insulin because they can't afford it end up in the hospital. Hospitalizations have increased. So this was I think it was Representative Karjala that put it out there. Had a lot of support, bipartisan support. Maybe the time wasn't right, so it's not going to happen this legislature. But the point is, we've got to get insulin prices to be affordable. This is a basic health care need. If we're going to say we have great health care in America, we can't say that and at the same time say that the millions of Americans, tens of thousands of Montanans who are diabetics, you know, have to ration their insulin. It's just insane.
And we don't have time. I know we're gonna take a break upcoming here. As I mentioned, Leisha Ford is going to join us. I think that's fair enough. We can let it go at that. Or actually, we're getting more calls here too. So, Richard, can you hang on?
Happy to. Yes.
Okay. And then, Leisha, we're gonna welcome you to the conversation here shortly as well. As we're talking about medicine, we're talking about telehealth, we're talking about things that are naturally so very important. It's 866-627-5483, or text us a message here at 781-627-5483. We will have the Distinguished Nurse of the Year come join us next, along with Richard Miltenberger, here on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Great to have you joining us. Hope you're staying warm, driving safe, staying out of the ditch, and appreciating the fact that we do have four seasons here in Montana. I know I do, and I tease about it, but I'm loving the snow. Maybe not so much the cold, but I'm okay with it. Hope you're doing great, as I mentioned. Welcome back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside. Some of these things are going to be apparent, and some of these things are going to need to be discovered, and some of these things will definitely evolve as we look at possibly permanent changes that COVID-19 may have caused to our healthcare industry. I'm going to, Richard Miltenberger is still on the line here, and I appreciate that. He's president of Mountain Health Co-op and been a part of our first part of the program. And I want to welcome Leisha Ford now. As I mentioned, she's Montana's Distinguished Nurse of the Year. It was an honor given annually by the Montana Nurses Association, and she's actually an instructor at the College of Nursing on the Bozeman campus. And good morning, Leisha. Congratulations on your recognition.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. I know that you've been listening along here and probably have some comments and some thoughts. And Richard, thank you for standing by. Let's go where we talked about telehealth. We also talked about this proposal for the insulin cap. But what are some of your thoughts from your seat?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, nursing has this super close relationship with patients. And we see the direct impacts of when, Richard was talking about those that don't have the access to their insulin and not being able to afford it, and they're rationing out. You know, in nursing, that means, you know, we're going to see them in the emergency room, and we're going to see them in the ICU because they've been rationing their insulin due to costs. We're going to, basically providing rescue care for folks that really could be utilizing, you know, insulin as a preventative measure, and not having access to it is just crucial. So, you know, one of the things that it was kind of sad that did not make it through on that, but that $35 copay is affordable for most Montanans. And it really opened up the door. I was so delighted to see that the co-op model had embraced that you know, just because of the impact that not having insulin has on patients.
Yeah, and Richard, what went into that? I think that is unique. You see it as preventative medicine, and maybe others will. And I know that we need to, there's much more to unpack here when we talk about potentially capping prescription medicine and price controls, because there's, you know, there's two sides to that coin. But what went into your board and Mountain Health Co-op's discussion that this was preventative medicine?
You know, this started about a year ago. We have a pharmacist who is our director of pharmacy, and he began a dialogue with some physicians that led to over 250 different medications being brought into the preventative list, things that people don't think of, like the inhalers that asthmatics and others will have to use, a lot of the COPD medications and some other medications. The goal was, what is going to keep people from having an event, an episode of care that's going to put them possibly in the hospital or set them back on their heels from a health standpoint? And so it was not an easy decision, because it's a lot of dollars, because you know, it's zero copay. Once you say this is preventative, that means that you don't charge any cost share for it. And we just, as a cooperative model, we're governed by our members. Our board of directors made up of members, and we just think this is the right thing to do. So we did it.
Alicia, I want to follow up on telehealth here a little bit too, as Richard is still on the line. From your chair, instructor, the College of Nursing's Bozeman campus for Montana State University, and then also as a nurse yourself, telehealth. It looks like we're on the right direction. How far can it go? Where's it going to evolve to?
Right. You know, it's really fascinating because I feel like we've heard of telehealth, and, you know, I think telehealth is almost the wrong name for it. It should be like e-health or emerging kind of electronic access to health, because, you know, we were talking about, you know, will a flip phone work? And it wouldn't used to, but the law changes for COVID have allowed us to expand in this telehealth model. And there's such a need for it, especially in Montana, when we think about rural healthcare and we look at rural disparities. We look at, you know, suicide rates in Montana, and a lot of that is due to not having access to healthcare, not having access to mental health. And so this has really allowed us to expand this electronic aspect, and a lot of people are doing not just on the telephone, you know, but they're doing face-to-face on Zoom or a similar type of electronic app that's going to provide for some confidence and confidentiality and meet those requirements. But the loosening of that just a little bit has allowed it to just explode across Montana, bringing healthcare to people that might not have driven in the 95 or the 110 miles in for an appointment. So I think it's just crucial to Montana that it's something that hopefully will be here to stay. Not all appointments require a face-to-face visit. You know, oftentimes a minimal checkup or a follow-up is something that can be achieved in telemedicine, you know, and save those in-person visits for, you know, pre-ops and things that are like the annual exam and that sort of thing.
It's sort of like maybe putting the genie back in the bottle a little bit, Richard, when we talk about regulations when it comes to our healthcare industry. Now, there's a lot of necessity for that, but we always worry about, are they appropriate or are they overburdensome? When it comes to telehealth, this is a bit of the loosening up of the regulations, right?
Yes, there's a loosening that's happened where, from the physician standpoint, there's a requirement for a variety of what I would call privacy security software to be built in. And that's all wonderful. It's not that those are bad things, but it makes it pretty impractical for some of the smaller physician offices to buy this expensive software so that they can, you know, provide these telehealth services according to the old Medicare guidelines that all the insurance companies followed, Tom. So, you know, Lisa's right. It's just opened up a wonderful new opportunity. And I think it's a brave new world. I think it's very positive, and I think really getting rid of some of those old regulations, and then also forcing the payer industry, the insurance companies, into it, actually, and then the insurance companies realize, you know what, this is not a bad thing. Our members are being seen. So it's really an opportunity where we can look and say that government worked.
It's going to be helpful for rural Montana, and that is almost all of Montana. Speaking of rural Montana, we're going to take a call now, listening from our friends up there, 1180 AM KOFI. This is into West Glacier, and Inga has a comment regarding telehealth and medical home visits. Good morning, Inga. You're on the air on Voices of Montana.
Good morning. My first one is like doctors and home visits. Not that long ago, we had a doctor come to our home. His name was Dr. Losey. He was located in Ennis. We had made a trip out there. Fantastic man. He wore bib overalls, flip-flops, and a straw hat. And he used to be the main doctor for the New York Jets. That man was awesome. He now has a nephew who is practicing medicine in Kalispell. I tell you, Dr. Losey was a godsend. And if he could do it, I don't see why with people who have real serious medical problems that they can't put them down once or twice for a doctor visit.
Inga, let's thank you for that. I appreciate that. Let's go back to this question regarding home visits. Richard and Alicia, why don't you comment on that as well? But Richard, you had mentioned something that it's not going to happen in the near future, which I think indicates you believe it might be happening down the road. Alicia, your thoughts. Do you see that possibly happening down the road?
You know, I think that we've disincentivized physicians from doing general practice in the last, you know, few decades, meaning that the pay for general practitioners has stagnated, whereas the pay for specialists has gone up in the amount that they can charge and things like that. And so it's disincentivized our medical students from doing general practice, which is exactly that description. A doctor is going to kind of take care of people from, you know, beginning to end, family medicine, internal medicine, just kind of being there and doing those. And unfortunately, the reimbursement model for home visits is not very rewarding. Mm. And so I think that we are seeing a transition to that in the nursing practice. And so there is a doctorate of nursing practice, and we offer that at MSU as well. It's a very robust, strong program where nurses are trained for, you know, many, many clinical hours in providing that primary care. And we're actually seeing them going out into homes and visiting folks that are either homebound or people that are high utilizers. And the insurance companies are like, yes, let's get them in there because it might keep them from 3 or 4 ER visits, which are a lot more expensive to reimburse.
Yeah, very interesting.
So we are seeing that grow. Yeah.
Richard, before I let you go, and I got a breakup coming here, there's still an open season, right, for insurance changes?
You know, that's something that's new. The federal government announced a week or so ago. And so normally for individual coverage, you have to sign up in the late fall, November, December. And this year, they've had a new open enrollment. They call it special enrollment period. Starts February 15th, goes to May 15th. If you or a loved one, anyone listening here, has not gotten health insurance and they need some, it is a wonderful opportunity. You know, if people don't understand how affordable it can be because of the federal subsidies that flow through in the under the Affordable Care Act, people pay $20, $50, $100 a month. It's not always retail. Most Montanans get some sort of subsidy. I'd strongly encourage people who are not insured, get insured during this special enrollment period.
Richard, I appreciate your time and the work you guys do you know, with the co-op there, and also just offering some opinions on healthcare, because it is a pretty complicated and confusing topic at times, but everybody needs to have an understanding of it so they can be healthy moving forward. So thank you so much, Alicia, and take care, okay? Say hello to everybody over there for us.
Thank you so much, Tom. Congratulations, Alicia. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Stand by, Alicia. I'm going to torture you a little bit longer here, if you don't mind. We'll take a break and come on back with more. It's From Montana, For Montana. Healthcare, the topic today, Voices of Montana. 5 campuses in Montana for the MSU College of Nursing. It's Bozeman, Billings, Great Falls, Kalispell, and Missoula. One of the instructors there is also been named the Distinguished Nurse of the Year, and she's on the line with us here, Leisha Ford. A lot of nice things said about you, Leisha, in this nomination process and this recognition. She's one of the most ethical nurses I have ever known. Came from Lori Glover, a fellow member of the Montana Nurses Association, and you said every nurse, you said this, every nurse working during this pandemic is truly deserving of recognition and honor. I appreciate that. How tough has it been for nurses on the front line?
Oh, I think it has been, you know, thank you for having me, by the way, Tom. Thank you so much. It has been just a real change, you know, a huge, tremendous impact on nurses and all healthcare workers. You know, the impacts that we're seeing are, you know, acute stress and psychological distress and anxiety and PTSD and insomnia and depression. You know, we're really seeing nurses are rising to the occasion, but it is coming at a cost for nurses across the nation and across Montana.
How are they handling it?
Well, I think, you know, I think part of the distress and stress has been, you know, having enough protective equipment and having to reuse protective equipment that we were always told could not be reused, you know, for all these years and decades. And so I think it comes from this place of feeling a little bit unsafe. And I'm hoping that as we roll out more of the vaccine and seeing that hope go out across Montana, and as more Montanans take that vaccine and hopefully decrease the numbers that we're seeing, you know, my hope is that the nurses will continue to build resiliency and reinvigorate themselves, you know, through family and through, you know, shared experiences again.
What do you think of, and we only got about a minute and a half here, less than that, as a matter of fact, education-wise, what do you think will come about in terms of education because of COVID-19?
Absolutely. So one of the biggest things that we've seen in our occurrences that have happened during this is the shutdown of clinical access for students. So it has reduced the number of clinical opportunities for learning for students at all levels of nursing education. So that's associate degree and BSNs and, you know, DNP nursing students. And, you know, another thing that we see is when we have yet to see is how it will affect future nurses from deciding to become future nurses.
Yeah. You know, this is something that, and I'm sorry our time was short here today, but there's always another day. So there's things that we'll want to talk with you about down the road. Are you okay with that?
Absolutely. I'd love to come back. That'd be great.
Of course, you couldn't say no, could you, right there in front of God and everybody. Thank you, Leisha. Appreciate that, and congratulations on your recognition. And that's all for today. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.